Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast. The first thing that I really wanted to get into today is the idea of mastering your psychology, which is really the first full day of Art of Success. How do we master our psychology? How do we break it down into something that we understand? Like, one of the most common questions that I get is, how do I get my mind to think in a way that is going to progressively move me forward to ultimately have the success that I want in life? But I want to start off with a question to really bring your mind and your thinking and the idea of your life into kind of a focus. And that is, what are you here to experience in this lifetime? I've had a couple of amazing conversations over the last few weeks with people that have had tremendous struggles in their life. I mean, real, real hardships. And one person I was talking to, I was like, how did you overcome such great illness? Because they were basically on death's door with cancer. And the gentleman said to me, I asked myself if I was really here to experience illness, or was I here to experience something different? And I have always come from the aspect of, like, when you're experiencing something, ask yourself, why are you experiencing this? But he kind of came from a different perspective, where he was really intrigued by the idea, if this was the overall perspective of his life to experience this problem, or if he could literally shift it to experience something totally different. And I think that's what we need to think about when we're thinking about success. Because most people that are trying to have some kind of success in their life, they're focused on the problems of why they're not, why they can't, what they're actually struggling with, instead of focusing on how can I actually turn this experience into a successful experience in our life. Now, success is not a destination. It's not something that we're setting a goal and hopefully we'll get there. And once we get there, that's it. We're successful. But it seems like in most people with the human brain and the way that our mentality works, that unconsciously, that's what they think they're doing. They think they're going after a destination or a financial goal or some kind of fame or some kind of standard in their business or their life. And then once they get there, it never changes. But success is actually a successful action, the implementation of a successful action in a successful way, but doing it over and over and over again and maintaining that success standard for the rest of your life. It's not something that you do once and then you get a result and that result stays there forever. It's something that must continuously be worked on and thought about and grown and examined in order to maintain constant success in your life. And that doesn't mean that we don't have failures or we don't have obstacles or we don't have challenges. All of the individual challenges and obstacles that we actually have in our life are here to teach us very specific things about what we need to work on individually in our own success mindset, in our own psychology, in order to take us to the next level, in order to better our best, in order to create and live the dream that we actually want for ourselves and for other individuals. So that thought process is something that must be considered. It must be cultivated, it must be worked on, it must be cherished and nourished every single day of your life. Because when you don't pay attention to it, you leave your mind open to whatever it is that you're being exposed to in life that can then infiltrate your thinking, and it can cause doubt and fear and worry. And the absolute suggestion of the problems that we all experience in reality as an ultimate reality. So people will experience challenges and all they see is the challenge. All they see is the problem. All they see is the trauma. All they see is the hurt that they're experiencing. They don't necessarily know right off the bat how to get to the other side of it. They don't have the information. They don't have the knowledge. So the problem they're experiencing becomes the totality of their experience in that moment. And if you don't have the right psychology, it becomes very difficult to move your mind out of that into a different reality and say, I'm not going to tolerate this problem. I'm going to overcome this. I'm going to become better and consistently move forward. Now, believe it or not, that mindset to consistently have that attitude in life, it is a psychology that is based in a decision that you make by answering this question. What are you here to experience in this lifetime? Think about what you're currently experiencing in your life. Think about what you're currently experiencing in your business. If you're experiencing something that you don't want, you have to bring in an understanding and a truth that says that you will continue to experience that thing in various different forms throughout your life until you decide it is not part of your experience. And that must be an absolute decision that you move out of it, because otherwise it becomes the narrative that we're constantly working in. The problem about money, the problem about business, the problem in relationships or in health, whatever the continuous problems are, if it becomes a constant struggle to work through those, then it becomes a foundation of a story that we must continue to overcome those things because we're self-identifying with those things in some way. If we want to change that, we have to change the underlying idea of why we're actually here and what we're doing. So let's break this down into some tangible processes that we can literally go to work on when we're done here today and begin to really understand what are the specific things in my psychology that I need to work on. Because if it's just like, well, just change your mindset, you're not really understanding all of the intellectual factors that are at play, that are either playing against you or coming from a place of ignorance. You don't even really know that they're there or what they're for, nor do you have any idea of how to change them. So we begin to go out and change different things. We start looking at the problem and we just try to change the problem. We don't understand that the narrative that we're experiencing life from is actually creating that problem and the belief system that's behind it. So we have a lot of people that are familiar with me and have seen this before. I want you to look at it with kind of a new eye. And the reason I want you to look at it with a new eye is because I'm going to teach something here today that you probably haven't heard me teach before. So it'll give you a little bit different perception on this idea. And then there's a lot of people that are here that have not experienced me before or haven't experienced my teaching. So I want to give just this fundamental idea that we can move forward from really quick. The idea is, how do we understand how our mind works? And what is the real problem that is causing the problems that we're experiencing outside of ourselves? So our mind is basically broken down into three parts, just for understanding the concept of how to work with it. We have the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, and the body. And prior to 7 years old, we don't have a conscious mind developed. Now, there's something interesting about the conscious mind. The conscious mind is where our intellect lies. And our intellect is really the thing that separates us, like psychologically, mentally, potentially, from the rest of the animal kingdom, from the rest of the nature. We have a very highly developed intellect, but most people don't know the faculties of the intellect. They don't understand the intellectual factors that make up the intellect and how to use them and how to strengthen them and hone them into like a razor sharp tool that actually benefits us versus working against us. Prior to the age of 7, the conscious mind's not developed. There is no conscious mind. It's all subconscious. So those intellectual factors are, number one, they're not even in our awareness. We're not using them at all because they're not really developed yet. But what's even more interesting is that all the information that's going on or around us is going into our subconscious mind without the ability to reject, without the ability to evaluate. I mean, even if you could evaluate, you would have nothing to evaluate it with because you're a baby. You don't have any other information. In your youngest years, you haven't even learned language yet. So there's no evaluation that's possible. So we're basically subject to whatever we're being exposed to, whatever ideologies, whatever beliefs, whatever value system that our parents have, the kind of school that we go to, the neighborhoods that we're raised in, the economic situation that we're raised in, the political beliefs that your parents have, the religion that you may or may not be raised in. All of that information is going into our subconscious mind without the ability to evaluate or to reject. And that begins to form the foundation of our belief system. Around the age of 7, we start to develop the conscious mind. And our reasoning faculty, which is part of our intellectual faculties, starts to develop. And we have the ability to think. We have the ability to choose. We have the ability to reason. And we don't really realize that when we're exposed to something outside of ourselves, we are looking at either results, our circumstances, or our environment. That's what we're constantly seeing outside of ourselves. That information is being fed back into the mind. It forms an image. And then somebody tells us what that thing is. If we see a car, we don't know it's a car until somebody tells us it's a car. When you're exposed first time to a marker, you don't know it's a marker until somebody tells you it's a marker. And then they tell you what to do with it. And then you use it and you learn what it can actually do as a tool in your life. And with every single thing that we learn about, that's how we get the information. Somebody else is telling us what it is, what it means, how to use it, whether it's something good or whether it's something bad. And then we begin to move through our life and we get more and more information like that. But the foundation, the first 7 years, is what forms this amazing ability of how we think about what it is that we're thinking about. So after 7, the conscious mind starts to develop, which is here. The subconscious mind is here. That's already programmed with beliefs. And the conscious mind is where we have the ability to choose. So we have senses. We see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. All the information that we're picking up from our environment is being fed back into our conscious mind. It forms an image, and it's just an image. It's just an image. It's just an experience. We're experiencing something outside of ourselves. The information that's already in our subconscious mind tells us how to think about what we're experiencing. So the subconscious mind is telling us how to think, not the conscious mind. The subconscious mind is telling us how to think about what we're experiencing. And what we're experiencing is happening outside of us. So why is this important to know? Because this how that is in every single one of us got there because somebody else put it there. They gave us the meanings for everything. Our parents, the people that raised us, gave us the meaning of everything that we're experiencing. So if we've never looked into what something means, why it means that, what does it actually mean to us, what do we want it to mean to us, we're basically subject to whatever somebody else told us. But we don't even know that that's what's happening. We don't realize that our ability to think is not really engaged. All we're doing is reacting to what somebody else told us something means. Here's the truth. Nothing in the universe means anything other than what a human being designed it to mean or gave it a label to mean. Human beings give meaning to everything. And based on our individuality and how we experience things, you could have one person that gives a meaning to something that's good. Another person has an experience with the same thing. Their experience is not good. They give a meaning to it that's not good, that's bad. And then that becomes their ultimate reality, their experience. They pass that down to their children. Their children pass it down to their children. And we don't even understand why we label something good or bad. All we know is that it's good or bad. Now, once that happens, that overriding thought process in our subconscious mind is constantly telling our conscious mind how to perceive our outside world. without any intellectual reasoning ability coming into that process.
Hey everyone, David here. If you're enjoying what you're hearing, I want to personally invite you to check out my upcoming Art of Success virtual summit taking place this October. Don't miss the opportunity to enjoy my teachings from the comfort of your own home. These 3 days will change your life. For more information, go to www.davidnagelseminars.com.
So when we work with people that have businesses and they're struggling or they're stuck, generally because they're perceiving something in their outside world as a problem. They're giving it meaning based on their subconscious programming, which, by the way, if that's happening with an individual, what's important to realize is that it's 100% their reality. It doesn't mean it's the whole truth about what they're perceiving. It just means it's 100% their reality. Like, it's not that they're not experiencing it. They're totally experiencing it. They can validate based on facts what the problem actually is. They can't figure out how to move through it because they have no recognition of how to actually see the solution within that problem. So the problem not only presents a problem, but it presents this place where they become blocked, they're stuck. They can't figure out how to get past it. It becomes the totality of their experience. Now, if they think for any reason that that's bad, if they think that it's not good to move past that problem, if there's issues with the ultimate end result that they say that they want, their mind will not be able to see the solution. They literally become stuck within the way that they're viewing it. Now, what we call this is a blind spot, meaning that a person's stuck, they see the problem, but they can't see the solution, and they know they're stuck, but they don't know why they can't see the solution. So often a person thinks, like, what is a different strategy to get around this? And that becomes the first thing the person tries to fix. They try to fix the outside problem without realizing that the reason that they're stuck is because their internal perception of the problem is not allowing them to see the solution. And generally, it won't allow you to see the solution because unconsciously, your subconscious mind thinks that it's protecting you from something. Now, why would that be? Well, because prior to the age of 7, when we did not have the ability to rationally think, our whole instinct in life was about staying connected, very connected to the individuals that kept us safe and kept us alive. Like, when we're babies, if we don't have mom and dad, the result is death. Like, we die. That's not made up. It's not a fear. It's 100% real. It's also very deeply ingrained in our DNA. It's genetic. So the body knows instinctually how to behave to constantly get the attention of the parents whenever it needs something. And it also knows when the attention's not there. When the baby needs something, they're not getting the feedback from the parents. It causes the baby to react more and more and more until they actually get that attention. So the whole modus operandi there is not like thriving in life. It's basically survival. That's it. So we have to understand that at a very rudimentary level, even when we're adults, that piece is still active deep in our subconscious mind. And if we don't have the solution to something, if we can't see exactly how we're going to do something, our unconscious mind will take over and it will basically ask a question. And that is it safe to go in this direction or is it unsafe to go in this direction? Is there anything that we need to be concerned about? Well, if you don't know what the opportunity is, if you cannot see into that future aspect of what you're doing, it becomes unsafe because it's unknown. And the unconscious mind does not like the unknown. It absolutely does not like the unknown. So automatically, it brings up the idea of fear. It brings up the idea of uncertainty. It brings up the idea of consequence. And then we start to engage our rational mind. But see, at this stage of the game, it's too late Because once we start to engage the rational mind, we have to understand that the how is what's causing us to hold the picture of how we're evaluating the problem. So the problem keeps going over and over and over again. And very often, when we're looking at results, we're actually imagining some kind of fear manifesting outside of ourselves. So this causes a person then to retract and say, I need to play it safe, whatever it is for the person in the moment. Now, with the COVID virus thing that's going on, it's causing people, many, many people, to retract in a way that is paralyzing them because they cannot see what the future outcome of this is. I've been talking about this a lot for 2 months now, and one of the biggest problems is that nobody knows what the outcome is. We don't know when it's going to end. We don't know when we're all getting back to some kind of normalcy. We don't know what's going to happen with the economy. We don't know what's going to happen with the potential of the virus in the future, whether we get a vaccine or like whatever. You could go down a million rabbit holes with this thing. But the main point is it presents a huge unknown to everybody. And how we deal with that unknown is very much about how we perceive being able to step into something that is unknown and being able to deal with that unknown as it shows up in a person's life. You find something very interesting about very successful people. They have mastered very specific things in their psychology that allow themselves to evaluate and step into the unknown based on different factors other than fear or imagined consequence based on some old paradigm or belief system that somebody else gave them. There's a vast difference in the value system in the way a successful person thinks versus, say, working class or middle class individuals. Because working class and middle class individuals are raised with the primary idea of being safe. That's what it is. Everything that we learn in life is about how to stay safe, how to have a very specific idea of certainty all the way through our life. And we're literally taught not to do things if we're not sure. Don't take too many risks. Don't change jobs. Don't move out of your neighborhood, whatever, if you're not certain of what the outcome is. And we often go to the people that were around at those moments of our life and we ask questions, and people give you ideas or opinions based on their fear or the things that have actually gone wrong in their life, not on hope and aspiration and, you know, go out there and give it everything you have, live your life to the fullest, you know, make everything count. Those ideas are not there. It's all about playing it safe. With this very strange concept, the concept is if you give loyalty to something, a business, a marriage, a family, a neighborhood, if you give loyalty to something, that thing, those things will give you security. And that has never at any time in history ever been true. Never been true. So I have always found it amazing that the human mind has been so susceptible to buying into that idea to begin with. And, you know, after World War II, when things started getting really good in our country, that was really the kind of the narrative, like go to school, get an education, go to work for a company forever and give them loyalty. They'll give you security. It was never real, but people bought into it. Why do people buy into it? Well, if you're raised from a very young age that your security is in a job, your security and stability is in not changing, but finding somebody else's certainty and buying into that, then that becomes your reality. And worse, you never step out and exercise your psychology to build up the areas of your own life that will allow you to manage uncertainty in a very healthy psychological, emotional way, be able to evaluate and make decisions that will allow you not just to break through a problem, but thrive. Look for the opportunity in every situation that will allow you to thrive, not believe in the fear or the obstacles that are stopping other people, but be able to move through them and be able to influence them to actually move through them, to really be a beacon in your own life for living your dream and showing people that you can. That ability is locked up in the idea of how do we use our intellectual factors to master our psychology so that that part of our life is not an issue anymore. Most people don't realize that the answer to this question, what are you here to experience in this lifetime, is very much rooted in the fact that they're not mastering their psychology. Because if I don't master it, it seems like this is like a pre-decided idea based on how I was raised. If the only thing that I know and my the way that I've interpreted my personal ability in life is based on other people's experience. Now really think about how much of your mindset is based on what other people told you. Then I only see my ability as far as those people have gone in their life. So I then determine that here's what I'm here to experience in my lifetime. And that is exactly what I have, not moving any further, playing it safe, not taking too many risks, and then finding all the reasons in my life not to do that. How does that show up for most people? It shows up with problems. Problems that basically psychologically stop them from moving ahead in their mind with any kind of certainty to a new destination that is vastly different than the one that they have. Most people never really take a dream, focus on the dream, build the dream, mature the dream, see it very vividly in their mind, become magnificently obsessed with that dream, and then go out and create that in their life. Even though every single one of us has the ability to do that, locked up inside of ourselves, regardless of the situations that life throws at us. Regardless, just because so many people are being affected by the COVID crisis does not mean that it's something that is here to stop you from progressing forward. All it does is validate, which I think people use all the time, is like when we feel like we want to stop with something, like we're afraid to move forward, we look for other people that are in the same situation as validation for us giving up, as validation as an excuse for us not moving forward. And we look at the problems they're having and we make it factual in our life. It becomes absolute. Well, if this person has the problem and this person has the problem, if everybody has the problem, then it must be real. It's not me making an excuse. It's not me not going after my dream. It's not me being in fear because everybody else has the problem. So then I can justify stopping. And the masses, forget COVID, the masses have always stopped at the problem. They've always stopped at the insecurity. They've always stopped at other people telling them no. They've always stopped at the idea of loyalty over the dream, the reality of their dream. They've always stopped at what feels safe and comfortable right now versus stepping into a life where you know how to master, you have to master uncertainty in order to be able to move forward. And then when we're coming from that viewpoint in life, there must be something that shows up in our world, whatever it is that we're doing, that's a constant verifier of that belief. What is it? It's the problems that you're experiencing. So when you're experiencing problems, if they seem to be the same kind of problem over and over again, like it, all problems have a different face, right? But if you look at the root of the problem, like what's the underlying root of that problem, you find that they're very similar. And they stay similar almost in a person's entire life. Why? Because their belief system has to find the things in their life to keep them from moving outside of where they feel uncertain. It has to keep them in that box. So they're constantly experiencing problems in relationships, problems in health, problems in being resourceful to do anything. Every time, like for 20 plus years that I've been working with people, every time somebody tries to break through in their life to do something that they've never done before, you will hear over and over again about the things that go wrong when they first start to do it. They will have a myriad of different problems show up. Their subconscious mind's creating those problems in order to rope them back into living inside of that box. And what's very important is that they have to understand this truth. Those problems are nothing more than the strategy of your subconscious mind trying to get you to stop moving forward in the direction of what you say you really want, but to keep you very, very close to the idea of what is the belief system in your subconscious mind that keeps you feeling certain right now. And when you obey keeping certain right now, you create a major blind spot in the way that you can view something, the way that you can evaluate something in your mind, so that you can find an answer to move forward. But understand this, the answer is always there. It has to be there because it's the opposite side of the problem. You can't have one side without the other. It's the opposite side of the problem. The answer is always there.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.